Turn to John chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now we know this Word became flesh. The Logos took bodily form, and the Lord Jesus walked the earth, manifested living Word of God becoming flesh. The same was in the beginning with God. So he's in the beginning, obviously standing up, and he is taking the role of the Creator. It says all things were made by him, Christ, when he was in the form of the Word or the Logos. And without him was not anything made that was made. So, when he stood up to create the world, we know he was in standing position. Amen? Now, the name of my message is The Final Seat. So, I want you to go to Genesis, and we'll end in Revelation. Genesis chapter 2. We're going to get into the creation just for a moment. Genesis 2 and 2. Now, we saw in John that he's creating, so I want to just come to the end of the seventh day, so to speak. In Genesis 2 and 2, it said, on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he made, and he rested. Everyone say rested. Rested. So when you work, and you finish a day's work, and you rest, what do when you rest? You sit down. So God stood up to create the earth. And in the seventh day, when he's finished, he sits down, or he rested. Amen. And God blessed the seventh day. That position of rest in the kingdom of God is greater than the positioning of standing in the earth. There are two positions. One is to stand. One is to sit. Now, when God sits, he signifies he's finished. He sits down. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work that he created, which we saw in John 1. So we saw God stands. God sits. But how many of you know God has to stand up again? The only thing that's going to get him to stand up is you. So with that in mind, go now to John chapter 13. John 13 verse 1. Now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Now look at this. I'm going to do some parallel. Pastor Chuck touched on this, and I want to parallel this. This next verse entails a lot of the history of redemption right here. It's a wonderful type and shadow. Look at verse 2, and I'm going to parallel this into Genesis. Now look what it says. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Now I want you to put your finger there, and I want you to turn back to Genesis chapter 3. Now, we know that John's supper was the supper of redemption for all but one. It was a supper of judgment for Judas. It was a supper of redemption for the others. So, in Genesis chapter 3, with your finger in John 13, verse 2, look at both of them simultaneously. Take your left eye, look at Genesis. Just see if you're listening. And supper being ended, John 13, 2. Now look at Genesis 3. All right, watch this. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise. Now here's another supper. But this one God told them not to eat of it. And they ate. Of course, the woman ate first. Oh! Yeah, I probably shouldn't have went there. And she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. Just so you know, the man was with her, and he watched her do it. Instead of protecting her and covering, all he had to do is say no. But you know, inside of him, he goes, go on, go ahead, I'm there with you. So when she ate, she turned and handed it over to him. Adam kind of laid down on the job. He was supposed to be covering her. He was supposed to be protecting her, but he laid down on the job. Amen? So, they ate. What's the first thing that happened when they ate? That wasn't an apple, you understand. That was a tree of knowledge and good and evil. Sin entered the human race right there. Immediately, as soon as sin entered the human race, they knew they were naked. Because the glory departed from man right there. Glory was their covering. They did not know they were naked. No more than Carson and Victoria used to run around the backyard in their birthday suit. I got a kick out of that. They didn't have a clue they were naked. Do you know now they don't do that? Do you know we never had to tell them, don't do that? They reach an age where they know they're naked. The age of innocency leaves right there. You don't have to tell a child. They'll instinctively know when not to run around in their birthday suit. Every once in a while, you'll see a streaker come through the hall. But other than that, it's not intentional. It just happens. Those are our stories. You got your stories. Those of you that have five kids, you know, you can understand. But Adam didn't know that glory with his covering. They were in innocence. And so when they took and ate of the fruit, look at the verse 7, the eyes of them were both opened. That was the wrong opening. That was not the opening of wisdom. That was the opening up to the law of sin and death. And notice the first thing they noticed. They knew they were naked. And what's the first thing they did when they were naked? Try to cover themselves with a counterfeit. They sewed fig leaves. And the Lord said, that won't do. And immediately God set in motion a plan. Now watch this. They ate, sin entered. Right? Now go back to John 13 with your finger there in John 13, verse 2. Supper being ended. There's supposed to be a supper for redemption, but it wasn't for Judas. He ate. Notice the next thing that happened. Sin entered into his heart. It's already there, but the devil, in a brand new way, entered into him. Look what he said. And the devil, having now put in the heart of Judas Iscariot. Judas was much like a type of Adam. So the devil puts it in his heart to betray him. What's the first thing the Lord does when that happens? He rises up again. Look at verse 4. And he riseth from the supper. What's the first thing that God said once he said, Adam, where are you? Do you really think God needed to know where Adam was? Do you really think God did not know where Adam was? Do you think he probably sent Gabriel to go, hey, could you please find him? I can't find him. He wanted Adam to know he was lost. Adam said, we were naked. We ran. That's what does when sin comes. We run. But God's changing all that. He changed all that. He doesn't want us to run away. He wants us to run to Him. We try to clothe ourselves, and you can't do that. What's the first thing He did? He rose up. What's the first thing God said? He pronounces a prophecy. Back in Genesis now. Genesis 3:13. And the Lord said unto the woman, I'm in trouble. What is this thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. The Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, you're cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go. You don't really think he was a snake standing straight up and then laid on his belly. You know what he just did to him? Watch what he said here. And dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life. You have to understand, before the devil, he was Lucifer. And he was the anointed cherub that covereth. You see him in Ezekiel 28. And he walked in the midst of the stones of fire. He had all the tabrets and the pipes within him. He was the worship leader of heaven. Probably one of the most awesome of all God's creation. But there was a time when he stood there, all the tabrets and the pipes was the musical instruments. The instruments of worship were in him. He led. Came a day that he actually wanted that glory. His heart was lifted up because he wanted the glory. That's why he uses the music industry so much. And all those pipes within him. And so he went from glory to dust. On your belly shall you go. Now really what he was doing, he'd already thrown him out of heaven. But what he was doing, you remember in Hezekiah, that angel, one angel of the Lord slew 185,000 Assyrians. One angel. In the days of Hezekiah. It didn't even say that he was an order of an archangel, but we know he slew 185,000. We know Lucifer was the order of an archangel. Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer, the order of archangels. His tail drew a third part of the heaven with him. When he fell, he drew those angels with him. And so he went from glory to dust, but what God was doing here when he said, on your belly shall you go, is he stripped him of his authority to kill at will. He put him below you. What was man formed of? Dust. So he took him into the dust. So he could not randomly, with the authority he had, just wipe out the human race. If the devil's going to kill anybody, he has to have an agent to do it. He can't just come and do that himself. If he could, trust me, he would have already done it. He has to have somebody to work with, like a Stalin, a Lenin, a Hitler. And that's what he works. So he said, on your belly shall you go. So God, at the fall of man, what's the first thing God does? He pronounces a prophecy. The first thing he does, you're going from glory to dust. And because you did this to my creation that I love, I'm going to take them from dust to glory. I'm going to give them a higher place than you had, and I'm going to give you a lower place than they were made from. What's the first thing he says? What happens when the devil enters into Judas? Jesus stands up from the supper. Why? He has to stand up again for redemption of man. He has to go to work. What's he do? He begins to wash the feet of the apostles. He said, but you're all clean. Well, who was he really going after? The one that was going to betray him. The one that betrayal set in. He went after Judas, the type of Adam. He's washing the feet. He said, you're all clean, but not one. He starts washing the sin. Now notice what he did. I'm so glad the Holy Spirit through Chuck showed me this. He washed his feet before he ever committed the sin. He forgave before it was ever committed. What's the first thing he says at Adam's fall? Verse 15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Boy, there's a lot of crazy doctrine on this one. Between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head and thou shall bruise his heel. You know what that means? He goes, I'm going to raise a brand new seed in the earth. Because as soon as the law of sin and death came in to Adam and Eve, they were the parents. They were assigned procreation to the human race. Guess what? Death entered in and death passed upon all men, and all had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You were born into it. It was in the parents. It was in the foundation. And the devil then became the god of this world system. And he fathered the world system, a fallen race. He fathered them through the law of sin and death. He covered them. He became the covering. So what's the first thing God did? I'm going to raise another seed. It's going to come from the woman. Mary, and this seed, when he rises up, he's going to bruise your head. He will bruise that covering. But you'll bruise his heel. But he will bruise your head. Immediately, God set in motion instantaneous calculation of trillions of thoughts going through God automatically. He sets in motion the plan of redemption within a split second of the fall. All of it happened before the foundation of the world anyway. Because God's true plan was not just to have you inherit the earth, but to also inherit the heavens as well. And not just to be a creation, but to be a son that sits with him in his throne. God's plan all along is he was going to share his throne with you and me. Not just as servants, but raise us up to sit together with him for all eternity. From dust. And the enemy just helped his plan right along. He goes, okay, you did this. I will set my plan in motion now to take my man, my woman, and I will take her from dust to glory. And you're coming from glory to dust. The devil's going from glory to dust. His position's lost for all eternity. And you went higher than he would ever would be. You became a son, a family, a bona fide family member, the Most High God. And you and I will sit with him for all eternity. So what's the first thing God said? He's going to rise up. He's going to stand up to bruise your head. So God had to get up again from the seventh day. He got up. He created the world. He sat down at the fall of man. It's the only thing to get him up again. So he gets up. For what? Now watch this. Go back to John 13. Okay. So verse 2, supper was ended. Betrayal entered the heart of Judas. What's the first thing Jesus does? Prophetic sign of all creation here. I mean, you can span the Bible from Genesis all the way to the New Testament right here in this verse. Verse 4, he riseth. God has to get up again. He rises again. Now notice what he does. He laid aside his garments. He has to come off of his throne with the Father. Because he goes, I'm going back to where you are, Father, what I had with you in the beginning. We know he's seated at the right hand of God. Now he gets up and he comes down here. He lays aside his kingly garments. He lays aside his heavenly garments. He lays aside the glories of heaven and he becomes a man. And when he does that, he takes a towel and he girds himself. Notice where God comes from. Watch this. Devil's coming from glory to dust. God's going to have to come from glory all the way to the feet of man. God coming to the feet of man to wash the sin from man. He has to come all the way down to get you all the way up. He couldn't just lift you up in that state. He had to come all the way down to your feet. And he got on his knees for you. and me to wash. Now, he washed before you and I ever committed anything. He washed the feet of Judas. He washed my feet. He washed your feet. Somebody asked me, is Judas saved? If he could receive the redemption, that redemption was enough to save him. Now, the Bible calls him the son of perdition. In fact, Jesus said it better that he's not ever been born. I don't think he received it. Because you can see when he was hanging that that got the best of him. That shame and guilt overrode him and he hung himself. That's not the act of someone that's forgiven. You understand? But if he received that, it was there. Jesus forgave him before he did it. He stood up for the human race. Before you were born, he had already forgiven us. Before you were born, he had already seated us together with him if we can receive it. Because his plan was not just to forgive, but to seat us, to take us from dust all the way to glory. Whew. I like that. So he takes a towel and he girds himself. He begins to wash our feet. To forgive the sin. So he can lift us again. So God stands up, creates the world, sits down, stands back up for you and me. So the Bible says he stood up. He began to wash their feet. Now watch what happens when he finished washing the feet. Verse 10, John 13. And Jesus saith unto him, he that washeth needeth not save to wash his feet, but's clean every withhold. You are clean, but not all. And he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, you're not all clean. Now look at this, verse 12. So what did Jesus do before we get in there? He riseth from his place, lays aside his kingly garments, lays aside the heavenly garments, comes down to the feet of man, washes the sin. And after he's finished, this is a picture of him coming into the cross to wash our sin. Watch what happens. Verse 12, so after he washed their feet and taken his garments, he was set down again. You see that? He stands and he sits. God does his greatest work when he sits. This generation will do its greatest work when we sit, not literally. See, in the kingdom of this world system, the more you do, the more performance, the more productivity, the more of you that's involved, the more that gets done. In God's kingdom, it's the less of you. Then when you decrease, he increases and more gets done by your decrease. It's not like you sit down on a couch and expect the nations to be harvested. That's not what happens. But there is a part of you that does sit down. And when that part sits down, what did he tell him? Sit here at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. When you sit down, he makes the enemy his footstool. He brings it under your feet when you are in a seated position. And that's not the seated position you're in right now. That's part of your nature that has to be seated with him. In particularly, the one that's not by might, not by power. If it's by our might and by our power, that's the parts that are going to get sat down. How many of you know the wisdom of God as we walk with him? He first teaches us patience, slow down. We try to speed up and we go slower. How many wish you would have arrived at destination 10 years ago? Raise your hand. How many of you think you're always behind when you're really not? But in God's kingdom, it feels that way because we're born in the earth. We're programmed like the earth. So God's way is patience. Slow down. Rest. Sit down. But not in the natural. You do that, you won't pay your bills. That's not the part of you sitting down. It's the part that tries to make it happen. It's the part that tries to get in the way. It's the part that produces the Ishmael. It's the part like Abraham trying to figure it out. How about Eleazar, God? What about him? What about him? How about Ishmael? What about him? What about him? That part of you that likes to cut a deal. That has to be purged, crucified, but where we sit is very important. And how many of you know where we sit? The right hand of God. How many of you know the greatest work that God's going to do in the earth is when he gets his people in the same position he's in? Now, we keep trying to do something for the Lord. And we've been at it a long time. Church been at it a long time. We always got a new program, a new pursuit. But isn't it amazing the city just keeps going on the same way? Nation keeps going on the same way? So it's obvious we have to find this other position. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. I like this part. The Holy Spirit brought out through Pastor Chuck. He's already talking about the Levitical priesthood. This is wonderful. Don't miss this. Now, how many of you know that Jesus was called outside of a different priesthood? And you'll be very thankful for that. Watch this. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11. It said, every priest standeth daily. He was a totally different priest. He doesn't stand daily. He sits. Every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices. You see that standeth daily? Pastor Chuck said this is awesome. Do you know there were no chairs in the earthly tabernacle? There was nowhere to sit down. Not in the holy place. Not in the outer court, inner court, or holy of holies. There was no place for a priest to sit down. You know why? Because his work was never accomplished. It was continually. He had to offer daily and continue to offer. He could never sit down because his work was never finished. Because his works would never get the job done. But our priest went to a different tabernacle, a heavenly tabernacle, and he had a throne to sit down on, a priest that sat down on a throne. When he was finished, he sat down on a throne after the order of Melchizedek as a king and a high priest that's ministrating from a throne. He doesn't do the daily administrations, that one work. We are forever sanctified. And he said, sit right here at my right hand, the Father tells him. Now that you've done your job, you sit down with me and I'll do mine. And I'll make your enemies now to your footstool. He already conquered death. And everyone that's born again, that death has been conquered within them. But the whole law of sin and death will soon be conquered when God will do away with it all. We're living that generation. Sit here, I will make thine enemies thy footstool. Verse 12, but this man, look at this. Now, he's standing again because he had to stand up. So God stands, creates the world, he sits down and rests. Man falls, he stands up again. And then he sits back down. He is in a seated position signifying that he's already won the battle for us. Amen. So watch this. And this man, after he had offered one sacrifice, comma, forever, sat down at the right hand of God. He's not getting back up. Now, he walks around heaven, you do understand that, but he's talking about his position. He will never be required to get back up and do it again. It was finished. It was done. Man now has been brought from dust to glory. And the devil has been brought from glory to dust. Ooh. We are called to sit in glory. Everyone say, sit in glory. I want to submit to you, when the church arrives at that destination, because we're just forerunning right now, but the whole body, the bride, will come up into the right hand of God to be with him. And she will sit down with him. When she does, God will make her enemies her footstool. As long as we keep trying to do it in this jurisdiction, it will never, never. We'll just have nice church. We'll just have a whole lot of people in nice church. You know, I'm amazed sometimes because, you know, our church is kind of unique. Wouldn't you agree? A little peculiar sometimes. Because every once in a while we'll get some friends that we know and they'll go to certain places and have no problems. They'll go to certain churches, no problem. And we know that they have a certain lifestyle. And that lifestyle is, you know, 1 foot in, 1 foot out. When I mean 1 foot in, that 1 foot's really in there. Can't tell the difference other than they go to church. And they might be nice in front of you. But you can't really tell a whole lot of difference. And they can go. Man, when they get exposed to just an ounce of the glory or a little bit of meat, man, they get nervous. They get real uncomfortable very quickly. And sometimes they got to get up and walk out, even though truth is there. When I look at that, I said, oh, God, how are we ever going to get that into the right hand of God? I said, the first time you put a fillet in front of them, they run. How are we ever going to get them into the right hand? He said, don't mistake, son. He goes, the whole body's not going in the right hand. The remnant bride's going into the right hand. It's the one that's worthy of it. It's the one that wants me with all their whole heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. Those that serve me will find that place because I will open it for her. The ones who want it will get it. Don't think that everybody will go up there because there are many who won't. He goes, did not they walk away from me? There's a lot of people that walked away from him to be his disciple or be in heaven with him. They didn't go to hell because they didn't follow him. Goodness gracious. But they're not going to ever come into their fullness either. Salvation's a free gift. Following him is a sacrifice he asks for. And those that are worthy of him will come up in the last days. She will come up in to sit with him where he is forever set down, because he will fulfill his redemption by bringing a people all the way from dust to glory. Not just in heaven, but here on the earth, there'll be a generation that will sit with him. That's where the church is headed. Where else do you think the church is headed? More of the same? He's going to bring her up. Bring me and you up. You know, he's forerunner. He gives you a grace. You know, kind of like last year was? It was kind of like a trip in the promised land to spy the land out. Said, oh, it's good. It's good land. It's good land. We come back. Say, this is it. This is it. This is the land. Let's go back up. He's going to bring us up. But what he's going to do now, he's just like Moses or Joshua is going to bring all the people in. Are the ones that follow, they can bring them in. He's going to bring the body, the bride, up in to where he is. We're going to sit down with him. Now go to Isaiah 52. You're going to like this. God, what's he originally give man? He gives man dominion over the earth, right? That was man's first estate. Guess what he's done for us now? He's given us dominion not only in the earth, but also in the heavens. Because he's called us to sit with him in the heavens. So not only are we inheritors in the earth, we are now inheritors in the heavens. You are partaker of the heavenly calling. You are partaker of the inheritance of the saints in the light. God's given us a new inheritance, not just to have dominion here. Isaiah 52:2. Shake thyself from the dust. What were we created in? Dust. Arise and sit down. It hardly even makes sense. Everyone stand up. Shake yourself, stand up. Shake yourself, stand up. Now sit down. Okay, stand back up. I mean, what's the point? Okay, you can sit down. And what's the point of shaking yourself in the dust to stand up to sit back down? What was the point? The point was a prophetic snapshot. We're shaking ourselves from the dust of this system. We're rising into his kingdom and sitting down with him in heavenly places. Raised together, made to sit together, Ephesians 2:6, in heavenly places. We've gone now from dust to glory. While our enemy has gone from glory to dust. He literally is under our feet when we're seated in the right place. Because he is the God of the world system. He administrates over the second heaven. How many of you know that there are one, here's deep call to deep, two, three. First heaven, the earth jurisdiction. Seventh heaven, the demonic jurisdiction. Third heaven, the kingdom. If you're in the first heaven jurisdiction, is the enemy under your feet? No, because we're still dust here. Where he's under our feet is when we get up into our seated position in heavenly places. It's then he's under our feet. If we try to fight him in the first heaven jurisdiction, guess what? He's above us. He's still covering. When we fight him from the third heaven jurisdiction, guess what? He is below us. He's under our feet. When we obtain the position as a church, God himself will put all of that under our feet. That's a position, but it will come a reality when we get there, when we sit down. Amen? Ooh, I like that. Go to Ephesians and we'll close here. Ephesians 1, verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Oh, I like this. Far above all principality and power, might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. So we see his seat. We see his position. He arose. He came down to the feet of man. He didn't come down to your level. He went to our feet and then went to hell. That's a pretty amazing king. They get on his knees to wash our feet. He is an amazing king priest we serve. But he would come that far down. And God would raise him that far back up. Guess what? When he went down, we went down with him. We were buried with him in baptism. And we came all the way from dust to glory. Oh, come on. Come on. Oh, Ephesians 2:6. Don't take it lightly what you know. Don't take it lightly what you hear. Ephesians 2:6. And he has raised us up raised us up, raised us up together, together, say together, made us what? Sit. When he gets us in that seated position, spiritually seated, what is going to happen to this world? Because from that place in heavenly places, everything is under our feet. Dominion is automatically executed from that place. You are sitting in the highest throne of the known spiritual and natural universe. You're seated in his throne. When we get seated there, the world will transform overnight. And one way or another, he's going to get his people up into glory. He's got us there positionally, but we are going to get there in the last days. All of us, we're going to get there, and God's going to do it. He's going to lead us. He's going to lead his people into glory with great power. He's going to get us seated, and then he's going to put the enemies under our feet. He's going to make it bow. The world system will bow. That is the reality of the sons and daughters of the last age. That is our reality. We're going to get to sit with him. While we're here, seated with him, he's going to get us that high before he returns. If you then be risen with Christ, Colossians 3, seek those things that are above and not upon the earth, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things that are above, not upon the earth. For you are dead. When did you die? Second you were born again, the old man was buried with him. Your life now is hidden away with him in the right hand of God. That verse will come to pass for the remnant bride in this last hour. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Glory to God.